Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4.
1 Timothy chapter 4. We live in a fitness-crazed society, so I found a couple examples that I thought were interesting. On average, a tennis match lasts about 3.5 hours, a professional tennis match. A long game in tennis can sometimes go up to 5 hours. But during the 2010 Wimbledon championships, two men, John and Nicholas, played a match that lasted over 11 hours. It was the longest contest in professional tennis history. They had 28 different ball boys working in rotation. The players slurped coconut water, munched on chicken, to keep their energy up over the exhausting playing period. If you've ever played tennis, you know that 11 hours of playing tennis would drain you. Then there was, if you've gone, and we have Olympic swimming pool, well, maybe sometimes you go and you do laps. Well, there's a man named Benyet LeCompte. He's one of the greatest long-distance swimmers to ever live. The Frenchman is credited with being the first person, those of you who do laps, think about this, to successfully swim across the Atlantic Ocean. Yes, without the benefit of a kickboard. He did it, all right? He doggy paddled for a long time. He swam for 73 days. He covered 3,716 miles in 1998. He began in Massachusetts, and then he would swim for 2 hours up to 8 hours a day until he reached his goal. And 2 months later, he landed there in France. So those of you that are wanting to swim, just a little something, Craig. You like doing that swim, there's something for you to do. If you're wondering how this man avoided becoming great white food, he was tailed by a boat with an electromagnetic field that warded off sharks. Then there's a man, he's still famous today. He's got autobiography, I believe, out, Dean Karnazi. He covers ridiculous distances in running. As he grew, so did his accomplishments. In 2005, on October 18th, he's a California native. He did one of the most awe-inspiring runs in San Francisco area. He ran 350 miles straight, never stopped. He started on a Wednesday afternoon, and he ran for 80 hours. If you read his biography, he says that while he ran, he got into a place that he was sleeping while he was running. Now, I don't know how that's possible, because some of you sleep every Sunday morning in the pew. But running, he was able to accomplish this. In fact, the year before, he wanted to accomplish this, and he did. He ran a marathon in every state of the union. All right, every state of the union, he ran a marathon. Now his goal is, in 1 year, he wants to run a marathon in every country. There's over 200 countries, and so he wants to do it all in 1 year. Now, I think he's kind of absurd, a little crazy. I don't get into running that much. But there's all kinds of feats out there as far as in athletics. One man, this is in Great Britain. There's a road in Great Britain, and you can cover all of Great Britain on this road on the outskirts on an uninterrupted trip. It's popular with tourists. It takes about 3 months. I don't know why someone would do this, but they have this down that somebody walked it. All right, that's kind of odd, I would agree. But it took them 3 months to walk it. If you are normally biking it, they have bike tours. It takes 2 weeks. But in 2001, there was a cyclist by the name of Gethin Butler, and he conquered the whole journey in 2 days. It is 874 miles. And he did 874 miles in 2 days. Now, I don't know where he is right now. That was in 2001. So probably, his bike and his body are enshrined somewhere because he never moved again. All right? But we see all kinds of feats in the athletic world. This morning, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and you'll see where we're going in our text here. Starting in verse 6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Look at verse 7, 8. These are kind of our text. "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little." Now, some of you, for your New Year's resolution, that is your theme verse. That phrase, you say, yes, the Bible says it. Bodily exercise isn't worth it. All right? "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Let's ask the Lord to bless this message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for an opportunity to come. Even in bad weather, Lord, we can come and gather together. Pray that you would bless as we sit, as we try to glean something from the Scriptures this morning. Help us as we start a new year that we would be able to look at our lives spiritually and be able to ask you to deal with us, be able to change some things so that we can be better Christians, have a better year for you. Lord, as always, do what I can't, speak to hearts. We claim your power in Jesus' name, amen. While we need to take care of our physical bodies, this passage says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but notice what it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things. We need to take care of our physical bodies. We'll talk about that a little bit this morning. But more important is our spiritual lives. And this morning, I want to speak on spiritual fitness. Spiritual fitness. Paul gives us three principles in this passage for gaining and maintaining spiritual strength. And most sitting here, as we went down and passed out the visitor cards, there was just two or three visitors here this morning. So most of you sitting here have come over and over on a Sunday morning. And this is my challenge to you, is are you spiritually fit for the new year? And there's a couple of things we can do. In verse 6, you'll see first off, later in the passage starting, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Notice the word, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. We're taking that phrase, nourished up, for our first point. The first thing, if you're going to be spiritually fit, is you must eat well. You must eat well. Now, most of you say, now, I have that physical part taken care of. I eat well. Now, we're using two words there, not just the word eat. Because most of you, you tackle that one. Because you can eat. But we're saying, do you eat well? Now, physically, we know it's very important. Let's say that runner, Dean Kanazi, was going out to do the 350 miles, and the 2 days before, you walk into his hotel room as he's getting prepped, he's getting psyched, he's going to run the 350 miles, and there's stacks of Twinkies, ding-dongs, ho-hos. Over on this side, you see Doritos, Mountain Dew. Man, you see all kinds of things there, and you're like, hey, Dean, I'm just thinking. He's like, shut up. I'm prepping here. All right, now, probably at about the 76-mile mark, he's there, all right, and then all of a sudden, all right, there goes the Twinkie, all right? And you're like, oh, man, well, what's wrong with you? Because you have to prepare yourself if you're going to physically take on something. Spiritually, you need to take on the devil. Spiritually, you need to be strong. So what do you have to do? Eat well. Eat well. What do we mean by that? Well, let me read a few verses. And I'll read a couple of them. And if you want to turn to Psalm 119, I'll read a couple other verses, and this will help us in understanding what we are supposed to eat spiritually. Job chapter 23 and verse 12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth." Talking about the words of God. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Acts 17 says this, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Now look at Psalm 119. Let me give you a few things about what we're supposed to eat and how it's going to help us. In Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might sin against God." Notice I'm supposed to hide it. Look at verse 16. "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Not only should I hide it, I'm supposed to keep it. Look at verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. I trust it." Look at also in verse 67, we see I'm supposed to obey it. Look at verse 82. "Mine eyes fell for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?" I can get comfort. I can cherish it. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to think on it, chew on it. I'm hiding it, I'm loving it, I'm trusting it, I'm obeying it, I'm cherishing it, I'm loving it, I'm thinking on it. That is my food. And physically, we understand if we are going to do something, let's say we're going to do something that's going to take a lot of energy, I've got to get the right foods into me. I've got to make sure that I'm eating properly. Well then, spiritually, that's what the verse is telling us in this passage. "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Most people care more about the temporal dwelling place than their eternal dwelling place. Most of you spend more time on your physical than you do on your spiritual, and you wonder why you are not spiritually fit. We must be spiritually fit, and that means just as I have to work at it physically, I must work at it spiritually. So what does that mean? I have to watch what goes inside me. I've got to make sure that good things are going inside my body. What are you eating spiritually? Some of you over the holidays, what you dwelt on is worldliness and carnality and the flesh. And then you wonder why, man, it just seems like I'm tempted. And it seems like the devil just gets a hold of my thought life. Guess why? Because you're feeding on it. And spiritually, in order for us to be fit, we must eat the proper things. What does that mean? That means the word of God needs to be more than my necessary food. How much are you partaking of the word of God? We were talking to the men last night at our prayer meeting and asking them to spend extra time in the word of God, extra time in prayer. It's not something that I'm asking you to do that I'm not doing. I'm trying to do it also. I'm also trying to be in the word of God. I'm also trying to spend extra time praying. And so what should you do if you're going to be spiritually fit? You must make sure what's going into your spiritual body is going to make it strong. So watching some of those stupid videos, listening to some of that stupid music. I was talking to somebody recently and asking them as far as their music, hey, have you ask the Lord what music you should listen to? Well, I haven't thought of that. Well, why not? Is that something that is feeding your soul? Oh, yes, it does. It feeds your being, your inner soul, your inner man. Are you feasting spiritually on the right things? Use the holiday season, if you have, the Christmas time to fill your flesh. And then you wonder why you're not strong. You have less resistance to temptation. You seem weaker in giving up your flesh or giving into your flesh. Look at what you're eating. If you have a steady diet of the world, then more than likely you're going to want more of the world. I can remember Pastor Whitaker, this was many years ago, until about 35, 36 years old, I was a very perfect and upright man. Most of you, and you've seen those flaws, all right? And I'm going to explain what he did to me. Because remember, many years ago, we started up in the snack shop. We had Caribou coffee. And I was like, oh, that is gross, nasty. And it's like a stealthy, stealthy friend snuck in. He's like, oh, try one. And I was like, oh, no, man, that's just a stench. I can't handle it. He goes, try one. So I tried it, and I about spit it out. It's like, oh! And he was like, no, try another one. And he said, you drink two cups of coffee in a row, and you're going to be hooked. And guess what? This morning, I went over. I have it on a timer now. My Keurig comes on at 6:15. I walk over to it, click it open, and now it's not just any type of coffee. Now you're looking in the aisle of Keurigs, and you're like, oh, that's an Italian extra espresso, you know, all this type, and you're like, oh, yeah. I wonder, oh, and this is a special nutty blend with dark chocolate tidbits, and you're like, oh. I mean, now I'm just hooked into it. I'm addicted. I'm a fiend. All right, what happened, though? I had to develop an appetite for it. Now, the same thing is true for you when it comes to eating well, when it comes to the Bible. Some of you have fed the flesh with the world and yourself, and you fed it, and you fed it, and you fed it, and sometimes you come to church, and just one time a week, maybe it's just Sunday morning, and we get in the Word of God, and it seems okay. But then it's like, oh, I don't know about that. And then on your own, maybe on a Monday or on a Tuesday, you pick it up and you read a verse, and you're like, oh, this is hard. Develop an appetite. Develop an appetite for the Word of God. My challenge to you this week, turn off the radio, turn off the TV, get away from the movies, and get into the Bible. You know what will happen? By the end of the week, you'll start liking it. And then all of a sudden, you'll say, man, God's talking to me. And then inside, your spiritual life is going to start getting vibrant. You're going to start saying, man, I'm looking forward to church on Sunday. I want to be there a little more. I want to see what God has for me. I'm going to learn to eat well. What are you feasting on? There was a wealthy man in the Middle East. This was many years ago. And he had a camel that was wasting away, that was dying. It seemed almost to the point of death here, and he was very concerned. He was a wealthy man, and he cried to another guy in the desert. He said, here's my camel, and I've tried to talk to it. I've tried special elixirs. I've made lotions and rubbed the camel down. But all is in vain. Look at it. He said, look at the camel, and he looked at the camel, and its ribs were starting to show. It was really looking pretty nasty. And the other man looked at this wealthy, wise man. He said, you know, O learned philosopher, he said, thy camel needeth but one thing. Speaking in Jerrieth. All right, he needeth but one thing. And he looked at his, what is it? He said, food. He tried everything. He tried to put lotions on it. He tried to talk and give it some self-help encouragement. But you know what he forgot to do? Feed it. And you know what, some of you? You do everything else but go to what will give you strength. And that is the Word of God. It is prayer. So the first thing that we see in our text in verse 6, the word there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it said, nourish up. What is nourishing? Nourish means to eat, to get some food. And so the first thing for spiritual fitness is to eat well. Look at verse 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wise fable, but exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 7 and 8 gives us an idea here. So the first thing we have to do is eat well. The second thing we must do is exercise regularly. All right? Exercise in a regular pattern. Verse 7 and 8 tells us this. The word exercise in the Greek, all right, I'll pronounce it for you. The Greek word for exercise is gymnasio. Whoa, all right, guess what it is? Guess what word we get? Gymnasium. All right, the Greek world, they would have gyms. All right, we've had the opportunity to travel overseas, and we've been in Corinth, and we actually went to Olympia, all right, where the Olympic Games started. And you can go and you can see their gymnasios, their gymnasiums, where the men would come, the athletes would come, and the word gymnasio means to strip down. It means to, in essence, to get down to business. So guess what you got to do if you're going to get spiritual fit? Get into spiritual fitness, you must just get down and exercise. Exercise regularly. The Christian is an athlete. He must train himself. He must exercise himself for a lifelong contest. You've got to wrestle and fight with the powers of evil. You've got to wrestle against yourself so we can win the crown of glory. The apostle then speaks of spiritual exercise. Bodily exercise, we read in this passage in verse 8, profiteth little. Now, it's not meaning that it's a useless thing. It has a proper place. It has some value. And we know this because most of us in this world have read in the area of physical fitness, or you've looked in some area, maybe it's in school and you've gone, and in PE they have charts and all that, and they tell you how important it is to do some physical exercise. So we know that there is some physical benefit to exercising. So is Paul saying, you know what, it's not worth it? No, that's not what he's saying. What he is saying is most of us are concerned with the temporal. And how much more physically or spiritually should we be exercising if physically we know there's a benefit? And most of you know that. Most of you know that physically there is a benefit to exercising, but spiritually you do nothing. Exercise regularly. And maybe the means for gaining maybe some benefit physically. Most of you have exercised a little bit. And the Bible tells us to train and exercise spiritually. I thought of a couple of things that exercising regularly in our spiritual sense will help us with. Spiritual exercise will limit your flesh. Did you know that? Spiritual exercise will limit your flesh. You know, there are other things that can help us resist the flesh. Sometimes a conscience, a good conscience, can help you resist the flesh. Sometimes even self-interest can help you resist the flesh. But nothing as a whole will help you resist the flesh like being spiritually fit, like exercising yourself in the Word of God and in prayer and getting up daily and doing what you should do to be strong in the Lord. Spiritual exercise will limit your flesh. Spiritual exercise will give you right priorities. It'll help you make right choices. But I thought of the last thing as far as spiritual exercise. What benefit does it do a lot of? Well, spiritual exercise renews the mind. Well, let me give you an example. I looked this up this week. Physical exercise, I don't know if you know this, helps your brain. Did you know that? I looked it up. There's been studies. The University of Georgia did a study at their Department of Exercise Science, and they said 20 minutes, just 20 minutes of exercise helps memory function. So some of you are forgetting everything. You know what? Maybe in your office, just get an exercise bike. Put it behind your desk. We were laughing at the front desk because I guess this is a trend in some places. And some of the ladies at the front desk, they really didn't want me to do this. But instead of a chair, they have an exercise ball. I was thinking, you know, Linda Coslett right there, you know, just sitting on the exercise ball at the front desk. Oh, woo! All right. All right, but there's trends at workplaces. Some workplaces, what they ask people to do at their lunch hour is go out and walk a few laps to help renew. What is it renewing? It's been proven that it helps renew some of the brain function. All right, so some of you that you haven't got up in years, that's why. All right, you can't remember anything. All right, you're just a couch potato is actually a nice word for you. All right, you're just a couch mule or a couch whenever. All right, think of something really nasty. All right, that's what you are because, you know, nothing. You can't remember anything. You can't do anything. Well, physically, we know that exercise helps our brain. Spiritually, what does exercise do for you? It helps you be ready for the battle. It's almost as though exercising regularly gets you on the edge of your toes. You're on the edge and you're ready to go. You're ready for combat. You're ready to get at it. Spiritual exercise is important. It helps us bring to mind the things of God. It makes the mind serious. It strengthens the mind. So what should you do daily? You should be exercising in the Word of God daily. If you just got up and walked, some of you have been in hospitals, and it never ceases to amaze me that someone that's in the hospital just for 2 days, what starts happening to them? They start getting what's called bed sores. And now they have special ways to move you on that bed. Why? Because laying still creates sores on you. Spiritually, some of you, you have some bad bed sores. Because what has happened? Spiritually, you've just been laying there. You're not exercising. You just, maybe it's 1 day a week. Well, can you imagine just getting up 1 day a week? Yeah, some of you watch it. Remember that show, The Biggest Loser? All right, and you hear of these huge, monstrous people that they're forklifting and craning out of buildings. And you're like, oh, man, look at all that flesh. All right, look at all of it. Say, man, that's disgusting. Well, what happened? Well, at one point, believe it or not, they were small. I know it's hard to imagine, but they were a little tiny baby, okay? But they didn't exercise regularly. They didn't do it. Spiritually, we must exercise regularly. All right, so that's two of them. We must exercise on a regular basis. We must eat well. But look at verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Laboring. What's the idea of laboring? That word is the word strive. It's used often by the Apostle Paul. He uses the word striving and contending. It's an athletic term again. So what is he telling you to do? If you are going to be spiritually fit, we must eat well, we must exercise in a regular pattern, and we must exert ourselves. What does that mean? We must force ourselves to start doing it. It's initiative. It's getting at it. There's a story that I was reading over the past couple of weeks, there was a story of a man that was having some physical problems. He was getting headaches. He was having neck pains. It would start going down into his back. And he had all of these pains, and it just seemed to shut him down in the middle of the day. And so he couldn't function. He was at a desk job, and he went to a friend. He had a doctor friend, and he wanted to get some answers. The doctor started asking this man about his daily routine and what he did throughout the week. He paused, and he told him that, I do this and this and this. Then the doctor looked at the man and said, you know what you need to start doing? You need to start exercising. He said, you got to exert yourself. You got to do something in the morning. The patient thought this was crazy. He's like, all right, I got headaches. I got neck pain. I got lower back pain. And you're telling me to exercise, to get out and do something. This is crazy. But he decided, you know what? I'm going to try to follow up and do this. He had some friends that had a membership at a racquetball club. So he got with those guys, and they always met at 6 o'clock in the morning. So he wanted to read, and he wanted to have his devotion. So he set his alarm at 5 o'clock in the morning. He would read and do all that, clean up, get his gym bag, and at 5:45 he'd head off, meet them at about 5 till 6, and then for 1 hour they would play racquetball, sometimes 3 times a week, sometimes 4 times a week. He said the first week he thought he was going to die. He thought, oh my word, this is insane. But then the second week it seemed to get easier. The third week, the fourth week. He said he had to exert himself. He said, I didn't want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to do these things, but I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. And guess what happened? His headaches went away. His neck pain went away. His lower back started doing a lot better. And all of a sudden, because he pushed himself and he forced himself to do it, there was a little pain at first, but he pushed past it, and all of a sudden, he said, I felt vibrant again. In the middle of the day, I had more energy. I was excited about work. I was enjoying things. Why? Because he exerted himself. And this is what will happen with some of you. You're going to give up after 1 week. You're going to give up maybe after 2 weeks. Well, God doesn't want us just to be spiritual for 1 week. He wants to push you. He wants you to exert yourself a little bit and to push yourself spiritually. Sometimes we think, we were talking about this last night, we were talking about the Beatitudes, and sometimes we have this idea, well, I'm doing what's right. God's supposed to bless me. God's supposed to give me all kinds of good things. Well, don't read the Beatitudes. I was reading them again last night, and I was looking at it, and what God says is, you know what? Be happy if you're doing what's right and people mistreat you. Like, I don't like that. I think I'm going to pull that one out of there. Really don't like that scripture. Because most of the time what we think is, well, I'm doing what's right. God should be just pampering me. No, sometimes it's not always easy. But you exert yourself. You push yourself a little bit. And you know what will happen? Spiritually, you'll become vibrant. Spiritually, as physical strength takes effort to build and maintain, so does spiritual strength. Spiritually speaking, we need to eat well. We need to exercise regularly. And we need to exert ourselves. We should not be out of shape Christians. And some of you, as you start this new year, spiritually you're out of shape. You haven't been doing these things that will make you spiritually fit. Then what do you need to do? Make some goals. Don't make them huge. Don't make them monstrous. In December, we were meeting with the guys in November and December and the staff men, and we were coming up with some ideas of losing weight. and we're all trying to come up with some different programs and things like that to help each other, and having buddy systems and all that so that we can be physically fit. And we are all joking because there's one guy that sent around an email idea, and man, it was so extreme. It was so outrageous. And it was like, you know what? You need to be on weight, and if you got to commit to something, and it must be at least 5 pounds a month, and if you don't do it, then you got to pay all this money, and then after that, the next month, it stays down to there, and then the next month, then it's going to be 10 pounds. I said, no wonder you never lose weight. I said, you just walk around in depression like, I'm not going to do it. I'm never going to make it. So spiritually, the same thing should be true. Spiritually, guess what we should do? All right, let's say that you haven't been faithful to reading your Bible. Then do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. All right, and don't say, you know what? I've been inspired. Tomorrow, I'm reading my Bible for 5 hours. All right, 5 minutes into it, you're not doing it. Because you're just making it absurd. But make a little goal. Can you do it every day? Yeah, you can. You eat it every day. So let's read God's word. Let's pray. All right, let's say you're past that. Well, then spiritually, exert yourself. Oh, you've been a Christian for 40 years. You've been a Christian for 20 years. Have you done anything to push yourself over the last couple months? If not, then do something. Exert yourself spiritually. And guess what you'll find? God will strengthen you. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Talking about spiritual fitness. Spiritual fitness. We didn't speak to the unsaved this morning. We spoke to those of you that are saved. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. I think sometimes there's a misunderstanding about the altar call. And it may be that God dealt with your heart this morning and you felt the Holy Spirit prick you. Well, an invitation is to come down, and it is a little public, but it's to come down, to kneel down, and you're praying, and yeah, there's a little pressure there. But guess what that does? That helps you solidify your decision. You still have to go back, and then tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, you have to follow up. But a little bit of pressure coming down and kneeling at an old-fashioned altar will help you to make that goal, to make that commitment necessary. So what did God deal with you on? Spiritually, are you fit? Or you know spiritually, you're not.